calling me Mickey. Well, that rah-rah never was the icon issue. Pop is bizarre, I'm covering the icon issue. I got issues, yeah, bitch, I got issues. W, Vogue, Cosmo.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to I Got Problems. Hi, my name is Sandra, and I'm here with Annabelle.
Hey.
And a special guest. Introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Nisha.
And I'm going to ask you to introduce yourself even more once I finish, because I want you to give all your socials and stuff. Okay. But yeah, so before we even get started, take a second to review us on Apple Podcasts. Mm-hmm. We have like 12 platforms. Find us on there. iHeart, Pandora, Google.
Spotify.
Yep. Apple. iHeartRadio again. You know, like, it's honestly everywhere.
That's hilarious.
So, honestly, if you are not there, send us a message. I will find it and we'll find ourselves there. Mm-hmm. And also on YouTube. So that's another nice one. If you'd like to watch us talk, this video, this is being recorded. So I know our last episode was not. We don't record every episode, but we like to record the guest ones just, you know, so they can have a copy.
Yep.
But, and it's just easier that way. And sometimes the sound might be bad for the other one. So we're like, at least for me, I'll be editing. So anyway, so yeah, thanks for joining us on this episode. Now we'll let Tarinisha introduce herself fully, social media, everything. Just plug yourself.
All right, so hi guys, my name is Tarinisha, but I go by Nisha. You can follow me on Instagram at Nisha_Taylor. Mm. So it's Nisha spelled N-E-S-H-A. That's also my Twitter. And then if you're professional, you can follow me on LinkedIn and you can just put Tara in front of the Nisha, Tarinisha Taylor, and you can follow me. Great. And those are the social medias I have. That's also my Snapchat. It's going to be Nisha_Taylor.
Mm. Okay. Do you have any businesses or anything like that?
So I actually do have a business. Oh. I have not started accepting clients yet. Just a little bit about myself. I am a speech language pathologist.
Oh, wow.
I'm a clinical fellow speech language pathologist. So that means that I'm in my first year.
Oh.
And so I do have an LLC for a business called TAC Therapy. However, I haven't started accepting clients yet. Probably will start accepting them next year. So just be on the lookout for that.
That's good.
That's actually pretty awesome.
Oh,
it is.
That's impressive.
Yes. Oh, so we're going to actually talk about that and just, you know, because that's part of the topic of just, you know, being one of the few Black people in your fields or just like your environment.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. Now, let's get to the topic. So today, this is problem number 62 or 61, one of them.
That's another problem.
It's a problem. Just know it's a problem. That's all that matters. So the episode today is token. Oh, is my stomach growling? Jesus. This is why we should have eaten.
Girl, if you don't go on.
I'm hungry, clearly. Okay, so token Black girl.
Mm.
I think you don't have to be. It also applies for men. I know I'm saying Black girl because we're all girls here.
Mm-hmm.
Token Black boy, token Black male, token Black female, token Black whatever you identify as.
Please.
Everything, as long as you're Black and you're like basically the only one, you're basically token. So that's how that works. Okay, so that's the topic for today. Now I'm gonna describe what it is according to the Urban Dictionary, and we use the Urban Dictionary because we're Black and like that's the only dictionary that matters. So hilarious. It's defined as a Black African-American female or male, I guess, with no defining character qualities that is added to the cast of a movie or television show to appear as diverse.
Terrible.
They will notably have a few lines and appear only a few times in the show, which if you remember just any of the TV shows we watched, first of all, was it Clueless or is it Clueless?
Which one?
Or is it
describe
the
movie
where it was like three girls, they were wearing like little cute
plaid outfits.
Yes,
it's Clueless.
Okay,
yes.
So remember that one Black girl?
Mm-hmm.
That's all I think of when I think like token Black girl.
it's like they add somebody in, a person of color, but they don't have any traits to portray.
It's just that they're Black. That is their trait.
It's just their skin tone that kind of adds to the movie, the story, whatever.
And the thought
process. They're acting like everybody else.
The thought process with that is that they're doing it because they just want to fill up a space.
Mm-hmm.
Like check the box of diversity.
Basically.
And it used to be so big back then because of the, what was that law that was passed for Black people to be inclusive or whatever, especially for schools. I keep forgetting this important shit.
Mm-hmm.
I know what you're talking about. I can't remember either.
Why can nobody remember it?
I can't remember.
Ah, damn it.
They say if you ball your fist up, you have an easier time remembering
you
stuff.
Think? Okay,
yes.
I'm balling it up. I can't think.
Affirmative action?
Yes.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. Affirmative
action. Why did it take so long to arrive there? Okay, we're going to just cut that whole part out.
So affirmative action was affirmative action was actually a pretty big thing back then, because they had to basically include, and that's what people keep saying till today, like, oh, black people find themselves at places like Harvard and important places because of affirmative action.
No, it benefits white women the most.
Exactly.
FYI.
Exactly. Like the mediocre ones at best. Like they just literally don't do much of anything. Ooh. And the ones who actually do stuff, kudos to you. But you know yourself. Mm-hmm. You know you don't do shit. Mm. And you got there just because you are who you are. That's it. So that bothers me a lot. But anyway, that's the world we live in. Anyway, but yeah. So being just that extra person that's not really important, just there to make everybody else a little comfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, it's and not even comfortable, because I'm not, it makes most people uncomfortable, but it makes you like, it's like they're trying to expose themselves to a wider, diverse group of people. So they just sprinkle a little, you know, a little black. Right.
And then not even that, like if it's on the job, you'll have the lowest of the lowest positions. Yep. Tell me how, why now?
But hey, they... I'm sure we've all experienced it in some time.
Oh my gosh.
And we got stories, but you know, that's for the days. Definition for there. Being the only black person doesn't equate to being accepted. Duh.
Nope.
And many people will argue that actually. It more so means being tolerated, which I totally agree with. Mm. We're more than qualified to be in that room, and it shouldn't be more or less because it's filled with white people.
Right.
So that's the starting of that. So now the token black girl concept is a concept that is all too familiar, which we all probably have a story to tell.
Absolutely.
We are often the representative of women of color, which that can be stressful. With that comes underlying expectations to be the black one, to live the sassy, loud, eye-rolling punch.
To be the stereotype.
You got to deliver the punchlines.
No, man.
You know, like surface level stereotypes are afforded to the black women we see in the white TV shows and the film world, like Jada Pinkett Smith and The Women. I don't know if y'all seen the movie, but it's really hard to do that when that's not who you are. If you're not that loud, sassy, whatever, which brings me to the fact that when you're at work, and you're quiet.
Oh my gosh. Oh, she has an attitude.
A black woman is not afforded the room to be
quiet. She seems kind of cold.
Because we're not the stereotypical quote unquote black woman they have.
I don't want to talk to you, my nigga. I'm here to get paid and go home. Like,
you're not laughing at their white jokes about their puppy. I'm tired of you talking about Smokey 40 fucking times. I just want to work. Can you understand that? If you don't laugh at the jokes, if you don't see anything, if they're talking, if you, mind you, if you say something, even if you express your feelings, then it's, you have an attitude.
Then you get a call from HR. Mm. So, a couple of your coworkers have approached me about your attitude.
It is so tiring. Like, I just want to live. Can I just live? Apparently, no, we can't. Clearly.
Mm. So, Annabelle, can you teach me how to twerk?
I've gotten that so many times.
Yo.
One girl asked me, was twerking racist?
Bye.
I said, I don't know what to tell you. It's a dance. Like, dance or don't dance, just don't do it wrong.
If you don't do it correctly and you don't do it on rhythm, then it's racist.
When you dance, you learn how to do this shit correct. All right, so now I want to bring our guests into the conversation. Yes. Women and black professionals, which you are, are more willing to join a team that's predominantly male or white. Yes, it helps them stand out in hyper-competitive situations, despite the potential psychological toll, which we know it will take as being a new token. Now, is that something you found yourself doing at any point in life?
Can you repeat that question?
Okay.
Just repeat the first part.
Okay. And when you get basically a job offer and you would rather choose stats, say, you'd rather choose to be on a male or white, I guess, team if it helps your career grow.
No.
You don't?
Because I feel like white men are actually more dangerous than white women.
I don't know. I disagree with you.
White men are more dangerous because white men are usually the ones carrying out the plans, but they get the white women to do it.
Ooh, you don't seem like that.
I don't know. Okay, so what if that's Karen is a stereotype for a reason.
But somebody's standing behind her.
She's motivated by her husband who makes her think it's okay.
So was the woman who snitched on Emmett Till, was she motivated by her man?
She's motivated
to snitch to her man.
She's motivated by the men in her community.
To lie.
But you listen to
on that nigga.
She was afraid.
She's motivated she slept by with a black man.
She slept with a black man
she
in a time
with him.
But you know what I mean? Like
he was
she hearing, that was what she basically was trying to claim. And in her head, if they found her with somebody that was, and I feel like low-key, I don't know the history, but I feel like she was fucking a black man. Like I feel like that was just a cover.
I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case.
At the end of the day, I feel like and then there's a bunch of black white women who also just lied on black men or being caught with black men and lied about.
Oh yeah,
because they
he raped me.
They are afraid. They've been. They're all afraid of white men. If a white man catches you doing something, and then the white man will come out, I'm protecting my woman by killing somebody and just cutting their body into pieces. I don't know. That's a little extreme. You can protect your woman without.
It begins with the woman lying, though. That's my opinion.
Do you think? But why does it begin? But why does it begin with the woman lying? What is she afraid of to lie?
I think that
the society.
I think at large,
which is the white man.
I think the white woman lying kind of stems back to slavery. Even with them snitching a lot in the workplace, it's just like in slavery they would snitch a lot to the master. So just like we have certain generational things and certain generational genes, they still have that too.
Preach.
Snitch a lot in the workplace. Because that's what they did when we were slaves. They ran back and told everything. They carried over to 2021. So when you see them calling the police, the police is just symbolic of master. We don't have masters anymore. So now they call who their master is, which would be law enforcement.
And y'all know how the police started back then?
Yeah.
Catching the
slaves. Oh yeah, slave catchers.
They had all the regular people pick up a gun and go find slaves because. And so they gave regular citizens the power over black people, which they usually didn't have. If you didn't have enough money, you couldn't do shit. But now people like Karens think they have power to call the cops and be like, you know, I call the cops and right now they'll come get you, you know, because they
just
think.
Just like if they.
And it happens.
Like if we had a master, who would they go tell?
Yeah.
Master. So it's just like genes. It's like genetics. It's carried over. It's just in a different style.
Because we know these things continue to happen. Why? It's being passed down.
Yeah.
Environmentally, genetically, whatever. That shit is being passed down.
Absolutely.
If it really wasn't passed down, and it would have died Jim Crow era. If everybody was free, it should have died back then. But here we are. So,
and we know racists still exist.
Right. So. But then I guess the stats here are saying that a lot of black token people would rather, and I'm going to go to the crabs in a barrel mentality where it's like, if you think you have other black people in the workplace, you're competing with the black people and not everybody else.
Yeah.
Because at that point, you're competing to be that token because you think you're going to get more attention as a token. So now you're going and climbing on your other black people, snitching on them.
And then it's not a place you want to be in. I don't know why people keep fighting for that spot.
But people black be doing people that. You would think it's you got a black friend at work. That black person would snitch on you real quick.
You always have to be on performance. You always have to be on. And then
if you do one thing bad, now all black people are
fucked. As soon as you get home is when you take off your mask and relax and you can say the N-word. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yo, I've had that job. Like, I had to quit. I couldn't do it no more. Like, facts.
Of course. It just says it takes a psychological toll on you.
It does.
It's so stressful. But they don't talk about that. Money is not everything, bro. Like, it's something and I'll take it over a lot of things. But
your mental health.
I've quit so many jobs that I can survive because the negative thoughts you have while working at that place, it's not it at all.
Right.
So basically this study by Edward H. Chang, it says when a job offer from a competitive organization was on the line, women were twice as likely to choose. Now it says women, not even men. I mean, black women. Women were more likely to choose being part of an all male team, according to a study by him. And an assistant professor, he was an assistant professor at Harvard Business School, not shocking. And when they're faced with the same opportunity, black professionals were 60% more likely to choose an all-white group, which is basically almost damn near over half. I mean, well, almost the whole damn population, which is insane. I'm black professionals, men and women.
Yeah.
So I think that's, I don't know. I mean, from their study, it's saying that I don't think we are because we're like, we've seen what will happen. We've seen the stress and we don't think it's worth it.
Right.
But it's clear 60% of our population is just like, nah, fuck that. I want that opportunity. I want that.
And
you know,
I can sort of kind of understand that because, you know, it comes to being able to pay your bills, have a roof over your head, feed your family and things like that. I don't judge people too much if they do it. But I personally wouldn't, like I said, because the stress in my head would just, nah. Unfortunately, so in our society, in order to get ahead, you kind of do have to kiss the white man's ass. Let's be honest. a lot of these Fortune 500 companies are owned by who?
Yeah.
Exactly. So.
So is the study saying that white people would rather be in that situation if it meant they could be somewhere better in life?
Or is it just saying black professionals are more likely to do it regardless of whatever reason?
Okay.
Yeah.
But the study goes further to say it's because of a possibility. Like his analysis was it's most likely because of the possibility to get up or get somewhere better in life.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy because when you work with white people most of the time, you're not going to be promoted even if you're more qualified.
But think about it, though. How many black businesses exist to even be able to work with?
Yeah. I mean, I get it, but they're not gonna, they're gonna give you a position, but it's I'm betting you it's not better than the white mm-hmm. person's position. They'll mm-hmm. give you something because they have to, mm-hmm. right? And to make it seem like, see, we gave you this. Yep. One thing about white
people. Yeah, feeding you crumbs.
Yeah, one thing about white people is they're always interested in covering their butts.
Oh, absolutely.
That's why they're super nice in public. And when somebody goes to complain on them, or yep. you go to complain, they're yep. like, Jim? About you, yeah. I love you. So they're super interested in covering their butt.
Yeah.
So they're gonna give you a position mm-hmm. that looks like, yeah, you got promoted, but the person that has less education mm-hmm. or experience mm-hmm. is probably still making more than you, yep. even though you have more.
Yeah. Right.
You have more.
You hear a white male coworker yeah. working under you as a supervisor, and they're making more, at least yeah. 10K more than you, the supervisor.
Can you imagine? Yeah.
That's so disgusting.
And that's another issue I have when it comes to the corporate world. Y'all need to start sharing your fucking salaries. And no.
Sharing.
No, honestly, it's really corporate culture. And it comes from above, obviously. They tell you not to share your salary because, oh, it's your own personal information. Nobody mm-hmm. else will know that. No. What the companies are afraid of, if you know how much a yeah, coworker is getting paid and you have the same or more experience than them, you're obviously going to want more and yeah. want to raise. And they don't want to shell out that kind of money.
Yeah.
So just FYI, side note.
But then that sucks for that. Everybody else that they just basically the company picks and chooses who they feel like should get. And that's usually not
and
minorities.
Sometimes also another thing is, people don't know how to negotiate money. These businesses
I'm not gonna
need
lie.
People
Facts.
So bad that, yeah. like, honestly, like, even right now is a time where you could probably get what you want. Yeah. But mm-hmm. unfortunately, like, especially in the Black community, we are not taught
We're
to
afraid.
Negotiate.
That's true.
We just don't know. True. Yeah, we just
we
accept.
We don't know how to negotiate. Even for my job that I got right now, this is yeah. my first year. But if it weren't for my friends that already do this job right. or
wow.
people that I know, I wouldn't know how to negotiate. And I would have thought, oh, yeah, that sounds good. Mm. However, I literally negotiated and I got $20,000 more.
Wow.
That's honestly with the help of my friends and then willing nice. To mentor me.
I'm still salty with my current job. I should have asked for more.
But it's hard because you don't know how to do it.
Yep. And yeah. But you're also afraid they're going to take back the offer.
Yeah. And I've had friends that happened to also, but you got to be understanding and accepting that you're going to get
and know your
better.
Worth.
Yeah.
Know your worth, people. I know you can be like in a tough time and it's easier said than done, especially
yeah.
if you're like pinching pennies, don't know where your next meal is coming from. But seriously, know your worth. Don't get stuck in a job that you sort of kind of hate, not making much. You're just going to end up quitting mm-hmm. anyway.
Yep.
So
I wish people would understand that. But when you're desperate for a job, you know, like you said, like in the beginning stages, you just want something. I just got to pay my bills. I got this coming up. This You just take it. They offer you a job. Oh, thank God I got a job. That's all you're thinking of.
But also keep in mind, too, it's easier to find a job while you're working.
Yeah.
So find that.
Everybody wants you when you're taking.
$12 an hour job. Mm-hmm. So you can find that $20 hour career. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah.
Because you're more desperate, too, when you're not working. You're willing to hop on anything and
Absolutely.
Take anything.
Absolutely.
But when you're working a job, if they come with an offer, y'all gonna have to pay me more than that because I'm already doing this shit. So
right.
I'm not going nowhere until you give me something worth it. But if you're jobless, like, I've been there.
Yeah.
I literally have accepted like $17 an hour jobs because I'm just like, I need money.
Bro,
now.
My last job was that.
Oh,
it's
God.
Crazy.
Yep. And you just take it. He's like, okay. Yeah. And then what sucks is sometimes you can get trapped in that job. I'm just going to leave just 6 months, just one more year.
Yeah.
Before you know it, you're there for 5 years.
Mm.
And you probably only got one raise and one new title and that's it. Like,
Nah,
it's not worth it.
That.
But so Edward H. Chang and his collaborators also try to probe the reasons behind those decisions, which I said, they surmise that women and people of color sought to avoid competing against those of similar backgrounds, which proves as the point that when a few minorities within the same organization that is composed of majority white people, they are more likely to see themselves as competition, which I said, the crabs in a barrel mentality.
Mm-hmm.
You should be competing against everyone else that has the title you want,
Absolutely.
Not the people next to you working directly.
That's terrible. You should be, okay, I understand competing with everybody else, but honestly, I feel like the motivation for it should be for you to be at the top so that you can pull others up
right.
with you, your own people.
Well,
you know what I'm
saying?
We keep
saying there's room at the top for everybody, but niggas don't
it's
believe
not,
that
it's
shit.
Not for everybody. I mean, okay, you become a senior vice president and then they become like, I don't know, executive.
But the point
assistant.
Is you can become a senior vice president here. I can become there. We can become, you know, like we don't have to be in the same company doing, but you have to get somewhere first. And I'm not, just help your fellow person out. Like, you know what this starts from? This reminds me of on IG when you're like, hey, I like that hat. Where you get it from? No response.
Mm.
Niggas don't want to tell you where they got shit from. That's the
bare
minimum.
That's weird.
That
like, that's such so, weird ass behavior.
Like, it's so annoying.
I don't get it.
Like, bro, me knowing where you bought it from is not going to increase the price significantly. It's just me. Now, let's say everybody asks where you got it from. Do you really think that company is now going to decide we're going to increase the price by $5,000? If they know what's good for them, they will not. Mm. Because you got it for a reason. So somebody else's price, like it's, or knowing a good place to eat in. Somebody, where'd you get the food from? Oh, it's my spot. I don't want to. What the fuck?
What the hell? Do you own it?
Like, that's just so a bare annoying. Minimum thinking. Now take that to the workplace where it's like you're doing your own thing. Maybe you find a better way to do something. You keep it to yourself. Because you want to be the only one with that skill set so they can pick you and choose you and me. And it's like, Jesus, that shit is so stressful. Right. And I can get it. I get it. Like, just not wanting to have to share work with. I don't want to be the token Black person either. Because then I have all the pressure of being the only Black person. They all probably know. Yes,
they're anything all looking happen, at you.
Anything Black happen, hey, what do you think about this? Mm. What do you think about that? Like, I don't know.
Hey, this
shit.
Guy got shot. Do you know him?
Yeah, he lives down the street. All Black people know each
Get
other.
Get out of here, bro.
It is so ugly. But they said that choosing to be a team's token, a member who's held up superficially as a symbol of diversity, can be isolating and actually hurt your performance.
Absolutely.
Members of a particular gender or a racial minority might feel pressure to fill their stereotype roles or represent their entire group, which can be draining and tiring for one person. So my question for you guys is, have you, our guest, ever been in a situation where you felt like you were that only Black person and you had to carry the load of everybody on your back?
So as I was kind of like doing research to come here and looking at the token Black person, I tried to think about, was I that? Was I that person? Because even, you know, obviously, guys, I just graduated in May from my master's program.
Wonderful.
So obviously I was on the job hunt. And a lot of times when I apply to jobs, I was just like, I hope they're not interviewing me because they need a Black person.
That sucks. Yeah.
Even going back to grad school, I was like, I hope they're not bringing me into grad school because I'm the only Black person and they need to fill that diversity requirement.
Right.
And so a lot of that plagued on my mind, but as I stayed there longer, especially going back to grad school, I realized I was just as good as them.
Yeah.
And that's why absolutely. I was there. Like, yes, they may have brought me in to fulfill a diversity requirement, but once there, it's like, okay, well, you're getting the best of the best. So even with accepting my job that I have now, it was very hard to accept it. Good pay, good benefits, everything I could want, perfect schedule. But I really just was crying over the fact that I could possibly be the only Black person.
Yep. That shit is scary. I have said no to jobs when I went to the interview and all of them were white faces.
As you should.
This
current
job,
as you should.
I took this current job because it was mostly Indian, Black, Nigerian. I was like, anything else but I cannot do it. I cannot.
Yeah, it can never just be one race because that shows you right then and there that there's no room for you to go where you want to be.
Yeah, so that was a really big deal for me accepting a job. And I kind of went back and forth even with accepting a lower paying job that was Black owned. Because I didn't want to be the Black person. Because
you felt safer there.
One of my friends told me, I think you need to go where the white people are. Not because they're giving you more money, but they need to see what excellence looks like. Again, her being the token Black person.
I like that.
You know, she's like, they need to see what excellence is. So that's her making me the
pressure. Now go carry the baggage of all Black people and take it to this job and be responsible for what Black people look like.
Yeah, even just interviewing and looking at the superintendent, I'm like, I don't know if we'll get along. I don't know.
Oh, wow.
And you know what's so crazy, y'all? I got to the job and it is majority Black.
Okay.
However, all the Black people, they do not have good positions. They're in positions that are paying $10-$12 an hour.
Good Lord. Are these adults?
Yeah, these are adults. It's probably maybe $15-$16 an hour. But even compared to what I'm getting, I know what they're getting monthly. I'm like, if they knew what I was getting paid, they would probably want to go back to school. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So even being in those work environments where you're not maybe the only Black person,
you
might be the only person with a good position.
That was my other
job. Or
dream.
A better position than other people. And so
the fact that you're
school.
Young too, like that's another
I can relate to that.
Point for
I'm
contention.
Sure there's people there that are older than
but
me.
But the people in charge are white people.
It's two people that are in, three people in charge that are white people. And even before accepting the job, I went on their LinkedIn, I saw one Black girl and she was the BCBA, which is a behavior therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yes, I'm excited. It doesn't matter if a lot of white people are there. There's another white Black girl there.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
But guess what? She doesn't even work there. She works virtually. But in the building, there are a lot of Black people. However, they really don't have really good positions.
Mm.
So they really do. I hate to say it. I'm not going to mention the company I work for, but these Black people really do the grunt jobs.
Yeah.
They even asked me the other day, like, oh, do you like working here? And I said, yeah, I don't have to put up with what y'all right. I have a specialty job that I do. I have a specialty service that I provide. Once I'm done with that, I leave and go back to my office.
Right.
And I keep going and I don't have to do what you do. So I think more so than ever, I don't feel like in work I've been the token Black person because I maybe in school I probably have, but in work I think that I tend to be like kind of like a little bit withdrawn and like not very expressive at work because of fears of white people holding shit against me or taking it the wrong way. But I think in my family, within my friend groups, I have been put as a token Black person. With my white friends, it's like, yeah, you like what you say. Yeah, girl, you know this person. And it's like, girl, shut the fuck up.
Like, how?
So when I think back to work, I don't think I've been the token Black person at work, but I think in my social life with people that are not Black, I can think of a friend that definitely I'm her token Black person.
Oh,
it's great to have Nisha as a friend because she's Black. You know what I'm saying? And so
I was that. It's not fun.
And I have, I only have a few friends that are white, not saying that all my friends are Black. It's definitely some diversity, but I definitely feel like even our friends can make us that token person.
Mm,
You know what I'm saying? And so it's really hard to be that person.
Wow. Yeah, because, you know, you don't know if the relationship is genuine. You're just there to, like they said, fill a quota.
Yeah.
In their friend circle.
I mean, I can think of some things that my friend that's white has said to me, and I'm like,
girl.
I'm like, damn, girl, you, that's crazy. Why would you say that?
Right. They don't think. They just, it's just, oh my gosh.
Word vomit.
Yes. Mm. They really don't be thinking sometimes. Just like, come on now.
Yeah.
And then you put you in an awkward position because how am I supposed to respond to this shit?
Mm-hmm. And then if you're responding to me, now you're the angry Black woman.
Right, exactly, exactly. Oh, but
you can't even set them straight.
So my other comment is, people from underrepresented groups often find themselves in the uncomfortable positions where they continuously have to share their trauma and experiences to teach colleagues. Mm. And usually they don't ask to be placed in those positions. They also become token there. When you become the only anything in any setting, and in our case is the only Black woman, you immediately default to, how can I not mess this up so I don't misrepresent other Black people mode? Which is
facts.
Yeah.
Tiring. Like, I just want to be me. If I mess up, I mess up. If I do good, I remember I took a job. It was virtual as well. It was, they hired three of us. I actually thought the one girl was white. I mean, Black, because she sounded so Black, but she was white. And when we did a video thing, I was like, actually saw her picture. I was like, oh shit, wow. It was three of us who were white. One person I didn't see, me and her training. I felt like, and I was doing so well in the training, and she was always like making excuses. Mind you, I was like, this girl don't make excuses to do training like four or five times. She just started this job. She should have been fired a lot. But what? No, she was there. The minute I said that I wanted to go part-time, they were like, I don't know if we can have you here part-time. And I was like,
really?
Literally, when I got the job, you asked me what I wanted. I said I can do full-time for now, and I might switch to part-time. Now I said I want to switch to part-time, and it's a problem.
So it's not like you didn't even warm nope. Just like spring it on them.
I even asked them. They were like, they had options. And I said, okay, I'll do full-time for now.
That's
how they get you.
Literally, I said I'm gonna go back to school. They were like, well, if you're gonna go back to school, that sounds more important. We don't think you can put your time in this and this, and but we want you here. Mind you, they were like paying decent, but I was like, for all the work you're asking for, I'm good. I was getting ready to leave anyway because I had another job. But I was sitting here like, this white girl was literally doing nothing. She was not even showing up for training, and y'all had no issues with her. And I'm sitting here like, I have to do all this work, and I have to be on top of it, and I have to do well in every single thing, and I cannot mess up because I'm the only Black person here. And that was virtual.
And sometimes I think we think that we can't mess up because, like, for white people, they leave room for themselves to make errors.
We don't.
But any error that we make could be immediate termination. So for example, at work,
I got stories, but go ahead.
They give us the option, like, okay, can we come in? We can go in at 8:30 and do till 4:30, or we can go in at 7:30 and leave at 3, you know, as long as you get your 8 hours because we're salaried. So there's me and another girl. She's Indian. So me, because I know there's no room for me to make mistakes or there's no one to back me up.
Yeah.
I come in at 7:30 and I leave at 3 because that's what I said I would do. And it's my 8 hours.
Yep.
The other girl, she comes in at 8:30 and she leaves at 3. And I'm like, that's not your 8 hours. However, I know for me, I have to do the right thing whether no one is looking or not. Because if it rolls back around to me, I'm fired.
Somebody's going to snitch on you. If they catch you, any little thing.
She's going to have room for error. Even though she's not a Black girl, she's not a white girl, there's still more error, more room for her to make mistakes versus me.
Absolutely.
Especially
because, unfortunately, she's Asian. They're seen as smarter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they get that kind of leeway.
Yeah.
So
corporate world.
I just feel like they don't give black people a lot of room to make errors.
One person met up, everybody messed up. That's right. Yep. Because I don't want to ruin it for other people either. Like if I'm doing well somewhere, I don't want to go somewhere and then be like, okay, I messed it up, and then now they can't hire no other black, because they can choose to do that under the table.
Oh yeah.
And that not ruins opportunities for who knows how many other black people could work there. Not saying it's
you're
worth it.
You're never just working for yourself. You're always working for your other comrades, like your culture. You know what I mean?
You're always caring somebody.
It's like you have two jobs. Your job is to be there, and then your other job is to maintain this white professionalism that they have upheld. And then as soon as
with our hair, our look, how we talk, when we laugh, what we say,
how we laugh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's everything. It's like you got two jobs, and like you said, it's very overwhelming to have two jobs. Mm-hmm. Even me code switching at work, that is a second job.
Yeah. It really is. It's hard not to say nigga every once in a while.
It's hard not to say I want to ask you a question versus I want to ask.
You know? And we had an episode about that, guys. Go check out AAVE. Code switching. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, every black person knows this. Like, you just want to be yourself, and then they won't let you.
Yeah.
They can send you to HR for that shit. Yeah. So.
And even when you are not yourself, there's still problems. I had an experience in grad school where a supervisor came to me and said, "I'm not kidding, y'all. This is not a lie." She said, "You want to work with people that want to do accent reduction, right?" I'm like, "Yes." And she's like, "I want to make sure you're careful that you don't say axe instead of ask." And I was like, "Well, have I ever did that before?"
Oh, wow.
And she was like, "No, just making sure you don't do it." And I'm like, "Well, why is it even a question?
HR! Yeah. What the fuck?
Why is it even a topic if it's never came up?
She would have been fired.
You and said
she would have been fired.
Yeah, in grad school, this was my supervisor. She said that to me. And honestly, even going to HR sometimes is hard because
HR is not for the people.
It's not for you. Even being in a school, the teachers are with the teachers. It doesn't matter what you say.
Yeah, right.
They are with them. They are a team. And I think that's what people don't realize. So even if I would have went back and told, it would have just made it harder for me, or you know what I'm saying? So I just chose to let it fly. And I was like, I'm never forgetting.
Why we gotta do that, though?
Yeah, it's very unfortunate. And it's overwhelming.
It's so tiring. I'm thinking about it now. I'm just like, oh, all the times that I've...
That you can't tell.
You really came out your mouth. Oh my God.
Yeah, she said that to me. That would have rubbed me the wrong way.
You got to go home like,
I mean, there's so many microaggressions that happen, you know?
And then when you get mad about it, oh, she's being aggressive. Oh no. The black girl's being loud. She's, you know, being rude or whatever. The minute you speak about how you feel or stand your ground, now you're doing something wrong. It's disgusting.
I agree.
But okay, so I guess I have two questions for you. Working in your field, how have you handled being a part of a small percentage of black people in your, because you said there's a lot of black people at your job, but clearly they're not in your specific, you know? Mm-hmm. So how have you handled that? Having a lot of black people, but having to watch them be somewhat beneath you in salary and title and everything, and then having to be that one black person within your group, I guess.
So I'm gonna give two parts to this. Okay, so just a little background on speech language pathologists. Black people make up only 3% of this job. It's considered the whitest profession. So in grad school, if you're not at a HBCU, you're probably more than likely gonna be one. If you're lucky, two in a room of 22. Cohorts are small. So my experience is going back to grad school. It's the first experience where I'm pretty much like the only black person, which meant that I had to be watching what I do, watching what I say, watching how I dress. I really had to tone down a lot of who I was to be able to look professional in my classroom, because even a part of my grade for my externship was professionalism. And if you did something in class, like if I got into an argument with Katie, they could in class, they could incorporate that.
Wow.
They could incorporate so my school, they could incorporate that into your clinic grade.
Wow.
And take points because of something you did in class.
But isn't it like professional arguments or just not agreeing?
Right. You're supposed to do in class in grad school?
Say like if we had a personal disagreement.
Oh, personal.
You went back and told it or something. That person could make sure that my supervisor know, and they deduct it at the end.
Wow.
So I have had the experience of being in a room where I'm one of two black girls, or one time three. But even sometimes when there's others there, you got to make sure they're kin folks and not skin folks.
Right.
So that's a whole other topic.
I've seen that before. You can't trust other black people. I want to be able to. I want us to share. But when things go down.
It all takes but one conversation.
I think you can trust them. However, when I say skin folks and not kin folks, you have to make sure there's somebody that actually loves black people too.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of black people who don't love themselves. Yes. So they're gonna try to side with the white people and be on their side, not knowing they don't give a fuck about you.
They right.
They just use you.
They're trying to kiss ass and move ahead.
And what are they doing? Putting you as a token black person so they can say, well, I get along with her, but I don't get along with her. So they do a lot
Like,
of
I'm not racist because I get along with this one.
So that's another thing. But I think being in a workplace where there's not a lot of people that are in positions of, I would say, power or in positions where they're making a lot of decisions. One of the things that I actually have to do is I always have to remain professional. I don't try to make friends with, I'm not trying to be funny, but I don't try to make friends.
With the other black people. I agree.
Because as soon as management sees that I am kiki ha 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 with the other girls that are at a lower
that y'all not working.
Yeah.
Y'all having too much fun.
Not only that, they're going to start seeing you as less than.
They see me as lower and then I become on the same level as those other girls and I'm no longer respected. So
this is why I like remote work.
So of course there are people at my job, even though I'm new, that I low key, I'm like, oh, I love that person. I can be great friends with them outside of work. When I'm in that work setting, I am just professional.
And y'all can talk outside of work and be like, once we go in that office, girl,
go to the bar across the street.
But before you develop talk that friendship, it has to be a conversation outside of work where they know the boundaries for when you're in that setting.
Yes.
They have to know. And like I said, you got to make sure they're kin folks and not skin folks.
Yes.
Yep. So working with people that are kind of beneath me, it's hard to see black people and you know they're making less. And you know that they're probably living check to check. But also my role while I'm there is I'm always encouraging people. I'm like, go to school. Like when I'm alone,
That's what I'm saying. Bring others up with you.
I told this girl, she was talking to me about school. I was told her how much I made an hour doing PRN, which is like pop-in work. I was like, yeah, girl, go to school. I make $90 an hour doing pop-in work. And she was like, what the hell?
Hold up. Now you got me looking at you like, what?
No, like just those kind of things. Because people don't know what they can make.
They
I feel like as a community, we've been convinced that school debt is bad. But white people don't convince their kids that school debt is bad. Because if you get a job and it's a specialty and it's in demand, you're going to be able to pay that back. You will be able to, you can start a business and make that money back very quickly.
Absolutely.
And so I try, and my, one of the things I do is I try to encourage people like go to school, do this. Obviously I'm not going to tell them what I'm making there, but I can definitely tell them what I'm making outside of that.
And for sure.
To give them a clue just of what it looks like when you're educated or when you're not in
that's
a lower
amazing.
Position.
Like,
then another thing with working with black people that are beneath you, you gotta make sure they're not jealous of you. And it's just like, it's hard because it's like, bro,
I've had jobs like that.
Yeah, you gotta make sure.
It's like, I didn't do nothing to you. We have different paths.
But I think
like,
they get jealous because they're at a lower job than you, which does not mean they're less important.
Yeah, right.
However, they see you as
a threat.
Not even as a threat. They see you as somebody that is in management.
You can't basically they feel that they can act their real selves around you
because they're probably thinking you're closer to management or in management
because
so you
have a higher role so they're also afraid and you can get it can just get it can get really messy. I already see it at my job. That's why I'm like, goal is to remain professional, do what I'm supposed to do and get out. And so you gotta worry about if they're skin folks. You gotta make sure that you gotta worry about people being jealous of you just because you decided to go to school longer. And it's just like, bro, I went to school for 7 years.
Like, I chose to
That was a long time.
And also, you gotta have those boundaries. Like, they have to know that, like, in work it's professional and then out work it's out. And I hate the word professionalism because it was put in place to kind of control black people and control the atmosphere. So it's just so many different factors being in the workplace and school.
Absolutely.
I totally agree with all that.
You know, they say if there's like three or more black people in a group, they get nervous. It's facts.
Wow.
Whether it's at work or anywhere else.
Like, what
are
we going to do? What are we going to do?
I don't know. They think we're conspiring to take over the...
Well, that's slavery guilt.
Yeah, that's slavery
probably.
White people know the power in numbers.
They do.
If I'm by myself, you guys can do whatever you want to do to me and there's no other witnesses.
Right.
Everybody white is your witness. But if there's three of us, we can all run and tell the same story and white people are more likely to believe it. So it can stem from that, too.
Yep. She did that. I saw it all.
If it's true, not true, I'll be like,
She expressed that to me a little while ago, even though she never did.
She brought it up a few times.
That's what they do with each other.
Oh, for sure.
You'd be looking like, wow, Stacey, for real.
Yeah.
We're dogs.
Like, no, you are not. But okay, now the last question is, what advice would you give to other people who are like kind of in your position, not necessarily in your field, but just feeling like the token girl or trying to pursue a career path where they feel like they might be the token girl that's holding them back, you know? What advice?
So my advice for anybody who is, because if you're going to go into my field specifically, you know you're going to be the token Black person. You've went to school. You've got a master's. You're in the widest profession. So realistically, more often than none, you are the token Black person. My advice is to just be yourself. Don't let them put labels on you that you don't want, but also remember to be professional, and also just keep work at work. Don't put these people on your social media. They are not your friend. Stacy that always invites you over to dinner, please just understand that she's not your friend.
Don't give it.
And I think it's important also,
and make sure she uses seasoning in her food.
Be afraid to accept a job where you're the only Black person. Like I said earlier, I accepted the job and I went in thinking I'll be the only Black person there. And honestly, the job is not bad at all. I feel like I'm super blessed to be there. Wonderful. However, don't be afraid to accept these positions, because you can always work where you don't want to be to get where you want
absolutely
to be.
Get your foot in the door,
and I think that's the biggest thing. Even if your foot in the door means I'm gonna stay here for 9 months, this is my plan to work. I'm gonna stay here for 9 months and I'm gonna get the experience that I need to get, and then I'm gonna go start my own business or take my own clients. I think it's just important to be true to who you are, and don't let them put labels on you if you don't want to be the token Black person. And always document your experiences. That's one thing I learned.
I made that mistake of not doing that.
Write a diary today, even if it's two sentences. Today, Sally said this to me, or da 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 da. So that later on, if something happens, you have this whole diary that you can present and defend your case. So
because it could get worse.
Absolutely.
It can get nasty.
It has for me. I had to document. I did the wrong thing of documenting everything my ex manager had done while I was leaving the company.
Start before.
Yeah, and I know, like I said, hindsight 2020, I didn't know any better. You know what I mean? And so
no, it's okay. And low key, they keep that's why they do diaries.
That's true.
Their parents did not start them the diary so they can express their emotions. It's so they can have a running record of shit going on, so they can present it.
Right.
Because most of the time you'll be like, well, she wrote this in her diary before she died. And then it's done convicted somebody.
Exactly.
She's not even here.
If
no
you
more.
Can write it in somewhere electronic so it's time and date stamped.
Better. Blind carbon copy yourself to your emails, because once you don't work there no more, they shut your access down to your emails really quickly.
Ooh, so good idea.
That's one thing that happened to me. I worked at a company, and this was actually a Black business owner. Shame on her. She was very horrible to me. But one of the things is, immediately when she fired me, she knew I was going to go get her emails of harassment. And she shut my email access down because it was with the company. But if I would have blind carbon copied myself,
it's fine.
It would have been good. So that's another thing, just blind carbon copy yourself to these emails.
That's smart.
So you can send it to your personal.
That's a great idea.
So if you're sending one between you and another coworker, like an interaction, just put yourself in a blind,
like your personal email.
So you'll have a record.
Right.
So that would be my advice.
Perfect.
Okay.
That's very good advice. I never would have thought of that.
Yeah, no, I have never done that before. I mean, I usually will forward stuff to myself, but I've never been in that situation where I have to, you know, record stuff. Usually I just quit the job. I'm like, y'all got me fucked up. Next week is my last week. Bye. So I usually don't have time for that. But, you know, in the future, if it ever gets to that point, definitely taking that advice.
Or, I know this is bad advice, I'm going to say it anyway because it could work. If you feel or view that, like, your higher-ups don't really favor you or you just don't get along or whatever, start fucking up. Fuck up so you get fired and you can collect unemployment.
Oh my God.
But don't fuck up and like get fired because you're late or something, because you can't get unemployment if they fire you for breaking a policy in the book.
So make sure it's something
make sure it's something petty.
Very small.
Don't
like beat up a customer.
My sister had gotten fired because she was looking for a job on the work time, but I don't even know if that's like, she still got unemployment because they tried to like, when she tried to file for unemployment,
they always contest it.
They try to contest it and they were like, there's no real reason, like, she didn't do anything bad while she was there, y'all just were being petty because she was looking for jobs during job time. So it's like, really, that's all you got? So she still got the unemployment, and they were so saucy paying, like, and it was during the pandemic, so they were paying her that and the pandemic. She was collecting coins. I was
Job, sis.
You make it more than me. I'm working every day. She's sitting at home, and I'm over here like, fam, I should have quit my job. She is sad. The way unemployment people were making money during the pandemic,
it's a thing, though. You can't quit. You have to be fired.
I know, but I always quit my job. I always quit my job. Especially when I feel like Oh, you about to fire me? You're unappreciated. I quit first. Fuck you. No, no, I
should. That's a pride thing. Bitch, get fired. What you mean?
No. But
fuck your pride. Get paid.
I haven't quit yet for like something really crazy. But like when I feel like you said unappreciated, or if I ever feel like you really think I'm stupid, like then I'm like,
yo, workplace bullying is a thing, and that happened to me. Mm-hmm. That's why I was like, you know what?
Cause my manager
I'm just
was
gonna
that.
Like not put as much effort into doing my job.
I was doing
and
so
then y'all
much.
Can
and
figure
then
out
advantage
what you want to do.
My manager at the time was my white manager. Her name was Betty. I'll never forget.
Oh my God. A name
Betty.
Like Betty.
I know. Like mm-hmm. All I think about is Betty Crocker. Like Betty raised her voice at me because I asked to go home sick. I want this recorded and on file. The next day after that, I came back and I put my last week in. 4 days later, I left the job. And hey. I left the key on the table. I said, you got me. On the day I was walking out, didn't say goodbye. I just took my shit and walked.
As like, you should. Like, what are you saying? Say goodbye to the people that you fuck with, obviously.
I didn't fuck with none of them because one okay, lady was snitching. Actually, the ones I fucked with, they weren't really there on the day I was leaving. But the one lady, black woman, snitching that, oh, she said I was watching YouTube on my computer. And I was like, I wasn't watching YouTube. It was a sound that I put on, like a background music so I can do my job. Like, literally, just one of those, like, ooh. Sound
yeah,
like
office
music.
Music, yeah,
literally, and she reported it and the manager came.
What's wrong with you? Mind your fucking lady. Business.
Yeah. Can't
skimpo,
not
people.
I don't like that.
Mind
your fucking
like,
business.
You want some grape? I don't want your nasty ass grape, Michelle.
She's gonna move my name. Done.
Michelle, Catherine, and Betty. All y'all can get. I'm talking about were like 45, 60.
Oh, yeah, they're 50. Always in your business as a young person. They're jealous.
And one
I'm
lady
sorry,
like,
I'm not trying to be ageist,
like,
but it's
I think
facts.
I'm going to get my degree. She was talking about, she had her LPN. She was like, I think I'm going to go get my RN because I said I was getting my master's degree. I'm like, instead of you to be asking me how I'm doing this thing, you're fighting against me instead and reporting me and being petty.
Right.
I'm not going to help you now. Good luck figuring your shit out. And she was a single mom. And
a dumbass.
Like, you're reporting me for fucking 18, 19
a whole dumbass.
Wow. That's good. But yeah, think shit like that. Anyway, I quit the job. I'm so happy. And now I will happily quit any job that stresses me out. You can go. Anybody
girl,
can
get
go.
Fired.
So. But it's just so much work getting fired because you have to hope that they fire you. But you have to be there for as long as you wait for them to get for you to get fired. And what if they do find a real reason to fire you? Now you're not getting unemployment. And you
no,
just suffer for like
you
three
do
months.
Your job. You just do it less well.
That's gonna be hard for me because I'm like a perfectionist when I am,
figure it out.
Like I'll have to leave my job like half ass.
I'm just
and purposely that's, know and turn it in.
Yeah.
Oh God, I just feel like it just makes me feel weird. But anyway, so yeah, that's it, guys. We are done. Our camera actually died, so if you were watching this online, but anyway, yeah. So that's it. Our lovely guest today really blended well.
Yes.
You know, she really was like,
I learned a wealth of information, so thank you for coming.
I'm with the shits. What's up? So
yes.
Appreciate it.
First of all, I'm trying to get the $90 an hour. Hold on.
You better let it. Or you should start a consulting business in the meantime.
Ooh.
So other people trying to do your shit can just pay you to get advice,
so,
resume, edit,
there you
and
go.
Shit.
See, this is what it's about. Networking.
Yeah. Anyway, that's it, y'all. So how to support Black Lives Matter is our resources. Check that link. Therapy Sources, Primary Care Physician, Employee Assistance Programs, and therapyforblackgirls.com. We have a self-defense because our last episode was about misogynoir and just like Black women going through all this shit that we always go through as usual. And so we're giving Black defense, I guess Black-owned business defense, self-defense company.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of, it's not on sale or cheap that I know of, but it's at least affordable. I think it's $75. You get like a knife, a taser. Or is it a taser? One of those? I think it's a taser.
The knuckle thing.
Knuckle brass. And then it's like all cute too. Like things you can hide. And pepper spray. It's like in a really nice package. And it's like all cute. Like lipstick, a comb. It's all like hidden.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you can use all that. And it's good for traveling. You know, just put it in your,
check bag. Yeah. Don't take that joint on the plane.
You're going to get arrested or taken to the side.
Yep.
No, but yeah. And then the other links are here that I used to discuss. It's actually a book called Confessions of a Token Black Girl.
Oh.
And I have the Audible book link.
Interesting.
Yeah. So if you want to listen to that, you could just check that out. And then here I have, do you want me to, you go ahead. Here's Annabelle with the mental health tip of the week.
All right. So our mental health tip of the week is to get off the grid. Try leaving your smartphone at home. I know it's hard. It's like our 79th organ.
Mm-hmm.
Do it for a day and disconnect from constant emails. Obviously, don't do it on a day that you're actually working. Alerts and other interruptions. Spend time in nature, doing something fun with someone, or just sit by yourself and drink some beer, watching the sunset. Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? It's nice to just like not have to think about the pressures of the world and family and whatever else you got going on sometimes,
True.
You know?
Yeah.
So Yeah, that's it.
Well, yeah, that's it, guys. And once again, here's our guest, Nisha, Taranisha, however you know.
Yeah, it's okay.
I just called you by your full name because that's what I saw and used to. But I hope you can come as a guest.
Absolutely.
In the future. You'd be definitely take reoccurring guests. Yeah, and you're in the area and you can actually come in person, which is nice. We rarely get in-person guests. At least the ones that we don't know, the ones we know are friends and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so please feel free to join us whenever, if you ever have something to say or we have an episode coming up or whatever. Just if you have an idea, just pitch it. We're more likely to talk about it. Yeah. And that's it, guys. Thank you for joining us on another episode of I Got Problems.
And we'll I hope you were able to solve any problems today.
Bye.
Bye.
Yay. Okay.